stop.
We're welcoming William today to speak on the program. And he's going to talk on roads and hope. Old roads. On any road.
Get all the scientific equipment out here. Shall I go ahead now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to start this. It's 4/12/20. That was my birthday. And when I was younger than I am today, the roads in Town Hope were considerably different than they are now. In a lot of cases, roads were low, sometimes lower than the surrounding countryside, and the water tended to run off in the roads, and there were no ditches. Given that, the Town of Hope had no natural gravel supply, and the only material in the roads was either rocks or dirt. With the spring came the melting of the snow and frost coming out of the ground. I can remember standing in the road and looking down through a hole 2 or 3 feet across and seeing the road up. Frost healed the road up and you had that much clearance under the road. While the water was running, and when it settled down, it took the dirt along with it. And when such holes were merged, they used to take and fill them with rocks, as they didn't haul in gravel to fill the holes, since the town had no natural gravel deposits. Plus, the road itself wouldn't support the weight of trucks anyway. People walked a lot because of the mud, and sometimes in the winter time you couldn't get round. And people that left their cars out a mile or two from their homes and walked back and forth. When I was a sophomore in high school, Dad was sick, and it was in April, and he had a fever, and Mummy called Dr. Hart down to London, and asked him to come out, and he came out in the night. And if somebody would meet him, and I took a lantern, walked over to the car, was over to Nate Barrett, and met him over there. I carried his satchel and lantern. We walked back home. Dad had quite a bad fever, and after he treated him there, I walked back with him and carried the satchel. Then I walked back home, and the next morning I had to get up and do the chores and walk over again to go to high school. Late May, early June, the town would come around with a road machine, a road grader, and pull in the sods and stuff into the middle of the road, and then there'd be this road machine was a grader pulled by 4 horses, usually, and a 2-man crew, and 1 man drove the team, the lead team, while the other would be on the grading machine adjusting the 2 wheels that regulated the blade up and down. and pulling in the rocks and sods. And after the grader went along, a crew of men came and would come along with garden rakes and rake the rocks and sods up into little piles. And then there would be, after that, tie horses and a dump cart would come along and gather up the rocks and stuff and dump it in the worst places. And usually after they got the road all smoothed up and graded, they came on and had some rain, and it was some slippery. And in the fall, when the road started to freeze and thaw, they developed ruts in the road, and it wasn't too bad when you had horse and wagons, but a totally different situation when automobiles came along. While technology advanced into replacing the horse and wagon with automobiles, it didn't in road construction. The ruts were made by wagons and cars, and they'd be quite numerous in the roadway, and you'd find yourself sometimes threaded, driving down the road there, and you was following one set of ruts with one set of wheels, and you was cross-threaded with the rear wheels and another set. And it was hard to, you was going along kind of crab fashion, and it was quite hard on the sidewalls of the tires, running in these deep ruts, where most cars had high wheels, so they had a lot of ground clearance. And finally, looking at my notes here, and I can't even read them. Finally, in the late 30s and early 40s, the state came in and built the first state aid road that started at Hope General Store and went up to the current 235 to Howard Coos of the Elephant House. And you all know why that is. It was located just beyond the Elephant House. They built about 1,500 feet of road, and the road was built up, put in ditches that worked, and the road was two cars wide. Quite an improvement at the time, but it wasn't very long. The town raised some money, and the state matched it every year, and they built a little section of state aid road. The Barnstown Road, that where I lived, that was designated as a state aid road, and they built short sections on that road and started one section out to the Camden town line, built back towards Hope, and it was a bad place there in the road, so that improved that. And then after a while, they got the road by the farm tied in 1962. Back then, the tiring was not like it is today. They came along with a truck loaded with sand and dumped little piles along the sides of the road, and then the truck came with liquid tar and sprayed it on the road, followed by a crew of men who spread the small piles of sand across the sprayed tire. You'd keep your car off the road when they were doing this, as it didn't, if you didn't want it to get the car sticky with tire. And I think they built 5 short pieces to join our road to Hope to Hope Corner here. In the winter, Tom Norris was one of those people who plowed snow. He had an old triangle under a plow made out of plank under a hoss lid. And he was hooked up to probably 6 horses. As it moved from one area to another, the farmers there would put their teams on to help pull it along. And if the snow got too deep, then the men would have to shovel and until they could get through with the horses. There was a lot of shoveling. In the stretch of road from the farm down to Bill's house, that's my son, the road was down low, and the stone walls were up above the road on both sides, and the snow would drift in and fill the roadway. Some years, when it snowed, the snow was so deep you couldn't even see the cars there. In 1932, Elmer True thought he'd plow the road. He had one of the new Ford V8 trucks with a long wheelbase, but it didn't work out too well. The ditches were such as they were soft, and water would run in the roads, making them muddy. In 1934, Herbert Hardy did plowing. And then Dean Ugly rigged up a rig that with 2 trucks. One was a plow and the other one was a pusher truck. And they had big timbers for bumpers. Hope finally get them to come over. I know they came up down below the house and the pusher truck got stuck and they couldn't keep up with the plow truck. Ollie Allen did some plowing as well. Neil Libby drove the truck in those days and the cross chains would be a flying and he was always breaking those chains and having to stop and repair them. One year he was plowing and we had a lot of snow, and just below the farm he drove, got into the ditch. Dad went down to his horses and pulled him out, and then while still hooked to the nose of the plow, he proceeded to help him up through to the town line. Of course, they would go a ways, and then the horses would have to breathe as well as going to high school. We had everybody on the road there, Marion Hart, Robin Barrett, and my father and mother. They would drive a week there, and they'd take turns. And they'd leave the cars over to Nate Barrett's, where Dr. Hall lives, as they started there. They couldn't get home with them. And some of the cars were very hard to start in the wintertime, out in the cold. over the years, there's been numerous adventures and events on the roads, and I recall is when we were going over to school in the little red schoolhouse in the corner of Seacoast and Bonestown Road. We were out to recess. Raymond Ludrick came along with his Ollie Allen's dump truck hauling gravel somewhere. And Ellen Thurlow was the teacher. And we had quite a long recess. You've probably heard me tell that before.
You should explain that for people that don't know.
Yeah, some of them didn't hear it.
I say that you should explain who they are. A lot of people don't know.
Well, that was Faith's mother.
And Ann's.
And Ann's. And Ann's. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And our father came to.
Huh?
And our father came to call on
her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over the years, there's been numerous adventures and events on the roads. One that comes to mind is there was a couple that lived up the road from the farm, and they went to a dance to O'Connor one night. And as they returned from the dance, the woman said that she stepped in a hole in one of the rock culverts and blacked both eyes. The only problem was that she didn't twist her ankle or skin her shin, but had two black eyes. Dad was road commissioner at the time, and Mr. Wallman, who they lived with, her grandfather, he came down, was pretty excited, and he was going to have the town sue him, to sue the town, and they might get sued. And Dad called Maynard Bowley, who at the time was first slick man, and Maynard Bowley said, "Let him sue." And come to find out, the couple had a fight at the dance. And I suppose that was domestic violence. Got much more to add to it.
In the 40s in North Yarmouth, we had a movable week of vacation called Mud Vacation.
Well,
we had that.
Or did you just plow through the mud?
No, we didn't. Because the school was over there.
Give it up, that's all.
Yeah.
We had extended vacation.
6 weeks, usually.
3 weeks?
Six.
I lived in Lincolnville, and sometimes we'd have 3 weeks.
Yeah, no school,
mud season. Yeah.
And we never had anything longer than a week.
Route 235 was not passed.
The only thing to do was to have a vacation. You couldn't do. Couldn't get to school.
Oh, you had bus. Yeah, we didn't have bus.
We didn't have a bus.
When did the buses come?
Grade school. No.
What?
Grade school.
Had a wagon. Had that beach wagon with a wooden side. My father's. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the horses couldn't get through. Are you talking about horse drawn?
No.
Oh.
This
oh,
was
okay.
Full. Yeah. But there was dirt. The road was dirt from 235 was dirt, all dirt road.
So it was mud. Mm-hmm.
From Alford Lake Jersey Farm over to where he said the above the elephant, that was all dirt. When I went to school at Hope Corner.
And all through the flat there was muddy right into the summer. When did they have that paneled, was a station wagon or?
Beach wagon?
Beach wagon, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God, what year was that?
Because approximately.
In the 40s.
Yeah.
Had to have been in the 40s.
Yeah.
I think Catherine rode on it, didn't she?
Catherine, John's wife?
Yeah,
John's daughter.
John's daughter.
No, she wouldn't have ridden on that, would she, William?
I think they had the Volkswagen.
Oh. Yeah, maybe so.
Volkswagen, mm-hmm. Probably.
I know.
Over on Crabtree Road, if you walk up Crabtree Road, yeah, or drive up as far as Arthur Adolphson's place, you find the road continues, but very old road that goes up to the road that connects to the cemetery. Was that in operation when you were a kid, or is that older than that?
Oh, I think maybe they were open for the horses then, you know, but I don't think cars ever.
I heard it was the way to get to Augusta.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not.
So Richard Crabtree says.
Yeah, the old road came between the two ponds.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
went up the hill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And met these other roads, which would eventually carry you to Augusta. But it
branched off.
When was that in operation?
The Morris Cemetery.
That was one of Mr. Barrett's roads, I think. When they first laid out roads in the town, when all they did was move the trees out of the way. I don't think they even moved many of the rocks back then.
No.
This is all rocky, very difficult to walk on.
Yeah.
I last drove that in 1951, and it was really more like an old road. Mm.
The guys that were doing the work on our house was Brian Powers and his son, Brian Jr., and we were talking about his grandfather. I don't know whether it's the Hart side or the Power side, but he said that Hart side built a section of 105 from North Hope across from Blueberry down the hill, and when the state was building that road, I guess he built it. But the old section, if you took a left on Ludwig or the old Peastown, and then you took a right, go down the one of the old Camden Road, I guess it was at that time. And that section's on my property now, and I was just cutting seedlings in there, trying to keep that kind of showing. And it's just, as you say, it's all rock. It's just that there's, you know, everything around here is like a clay till. It's not a real gravel at all, and it's just really slippery, but it's just hard piles of rock in there that are just trying to get up that hill up to the top of the hill where you take a left and then go into the whole corner. But that section there is on our property, and then down further down we get to the first driveway down the hill is on our property as well. It's up behind the stone wall. As you go along our property, you see the stone wall, but it's up on the pasture level, not down on the road.
Going down the hill towards North Apple.
Yeah.
That eventually went. That was the old road. That property went with the red brick house.
Oh, okay.
And when my father owned that and got ready to sell it, mm-hmm, he deeded it to us, mm-hmm, because the road had come in between.
Right.
But that eventually was with the
red house. So originally it was with the red house. And the road was between.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
The over. Yeah. That was before we were up there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. William, when they built that hill over, they made it.
William?
William Babbers.
William. Do you remember when Earl Ludwig built the road from Bob Wright's over and through there?
Yes.
What year was that? Do you remember?
What year?
Yeah.
No,
it's been
don't.
In the 60s.
In the
60s?
Early 70s. Been in the 60s because it was tied in 62.
Yeah.
There. Previous to that. Yeah. Also, Arthur was up to Knox Ridge with old bulldozer plowing them out, mm-hmm, there, and he drove that bulldozer down from Knox Ridge in the night there. Oh. No cab on it or anything.
Yeah.
Plowed Shit. Out the roads.
Yeah.
That was a cold, must have been a cold ride.
William, who? Arthur who?
Arthur Ludwig, Earl's brother.
Did they ever go back and do any other preparation for the road, or is that the original road now? Did it build up over the rock base? Did they just use sand and then they ever come in and lay proper
they
gravel?
They bulldozed in the walls in lots of places, and they did over home. The road was so low and bulldozed the road a lot,
rocks in
walls
the road,
in and leveled them off some, and then they put some gravel on them. And eventually, they tied it.
This is a picture of the construction of Route 17 through South Hope, down by the Fisk House and the where it was, and the bridge over Quiggle Brook. Yeah. And in it, you can see how they plowed the walls into the middle of the road, and filled with dirt over it. There wasn't, as Bill said, not a whole lot of sand around here.
Yeah.
No.
Not a whole lot of gravel that you could use a good base.
So the lack of gravel goes way back then.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of gravel goes way back. I thought there used to be over at that sharp turn on 235 and Buzzell Hill. If you go down there towards Union, I remember going in there and getting, well, it was sort of gravel.
Yes.
But
and the gravel trucks back there and.
Where did we get it when we got it?
What?
Where did we get the gravel from?
Oh, Shed Mountain, somewhere. And a lot of the dump trucks that worked on the roads, the early ones, they didn't have dual tires, and small bodies, and they...
It's a lot of dump trucks.
Derricks on them to dump the bodies. The driver would get out and crank them up and dump a spoonful of dirt here, and somebody else would level it all shot.
Well, you know, when your parents were taking turns driving you to high school, they would leave the car over what the Colonel Wilson's, and then go up through the corner and down 105.
Well, they could go down that way.
Yeah, because that was. Because Barnstown was not...
And that was impossible. And the hills there was just...
That hill in Camden, you just...
Yeah. And a lot of the ways it was pretty muddy, washed out.
You have any idea when 105 got paved?
No, I don't.
Does anybody else?
There's a picture of the Washington Street end of 105 that one of my friends has. On a postcard showing her house opposite the factory, the canning, the mill rather, down there. In the 50s, there are 1950s cars on it, and it's a dirt road then. So the Washington Street end of 105 didn't get paved until after that. Bill, my uncle, Miney Harriman, over in Appleton used to keep horses. He kept Belgians and very interested in good draft horses. And he took a special delight in the springtime of bringing his horses out to work a field alongside a certain stretch of road, because he could unhitch the horses from whatever he was using, the plow, the harrow, whatever, go down and pull automobiles.
Yeah.
And he'd go down and he'd smile and he'd hook onto these bumpers on the automobiles and haul them up and smile, and he'd bow to the folks that he just hauled out of the mud hole and say, horses are great, aren't they? Did we have anyone like that here in Hope?
No, I think everybody was. I know when we had homemade tractors there, and we used to, brother and I used to look forward to the mailman coming round there, had a week of vacation then, hoping he'd get stuck so we could take the homemade tractor down and pull him out. Ed Alden, he was one of them, mail drivers then, it was good. And he had the first snow tires that I ever saw, in knobby tread. And they were way above the ordinary tires, almost equal to chains. And he had a bumper jack, and he'd get stuck, and he'd get out, get that bumper jack out, jack it up, put in some rocks, and he'd climb back in and go it. Speaking of hard, having these afterthoughts, I know going to Camden one time with my dad, and there's a load of woods, the old Model T, and got down there by Tony Box and blew a front tire. Stop, got out, got the handyman jack out, jacked the wheel up, took the tire rim off the wheel, and then pried the tire off the rim, the tire irons. Dad got out his kit there for patching, and scrubbed a little, rubbed the tool by a little roughening, and got some the patching cement, and stuck on a patch, and put the tire back in. Use very careful. When you put it back, you didn't pinch the tube. You'd have it to do all over again. And then we put the tire back on the wheel, got out the portable air compressor, and blew the tire up. You all know what a portable air compressor is.
Bicycle pump.
So at some point you didn't have to go in through Hope Corner anymore. You could go over the mountain and to go into Camden on Barnstown.
Yes.
You know, what, about when did that start? Oh, just give or take a few years.
No. Sometime in the late 30s.
I do remember we were just summer people, but starting in 1940, we would never go over Barnstown.
No.
No, wouldn't even think of it.
Hard piece of road.
And I seem to recall that in the early 40s there was nothing paved in Hope Corner, but I'm not sure.
The first paving that you talked about with the sand and the liquid tar, that was kind of not a whole lot better than the road surface before.
No,
was it? You put this on stuff that turned to mud to begin with. And I remember how those roads used to dent in a little bit as summer went on, and the summer heat.
Yeah.
And then you'd have the two tarred ruts.
Yeah.
If you go back a little bit to state aid, okay, before state aid, the roads were all dug in. They were lower.
Yeah.
Right? And so they became streams, and you see this happen, you still see this happen in poor country. When they started, did I get it right? We didn't start building up the roads back up to the surrounding level until we got state aid?
Well, no, I guess that's about the time they get it there. Yeah. And they started in pushing the walls into the roads, and the bulldozers came on, and that made quite a difference.
In the beginning, they were using machines that were horse-drawn to pull the stones in. Yeah.
Were they still packing roads in winter, Bill?
Not round here. That is that I know of.
Yeah.
They'd done it more upstate where they had more snow, and I guess.
So there was plowing fairly early on?
Yes, they started plowing with trucks. Oh, about 32, I think.
The movies we have from Irving Keene here are 32 to 34?
Yes.
and they show a few winter slides, and it looks like, really looks like it's mainly in Camden, along Route 1 there north of Camden, but it looks like it's packed. Maybe they just hadn't got to plowing it yet. Keeney came up from Brookline and was just taking pictures. So by that time, we were already starting to plow. What was the big triangle?
What?
Was it a big triangle, or was there a proper plow?
Well, Tom Norris had a wooden plow under his sled and hauled it with hosses.
That's right.
If the snow didn't get too deep, then they'd have to start in the shovel.
It seems like I've seen pictures of rollers, big rollers, hauled by horses, so they just packed it down.
Yeah.
Was that in your lifetime?
Not around here.
No.
I think it's back in, I could remember, but I wasn't where they were.
I've read that they had it packed down, these big stone cylindrical ones, wooden rollers.
I think that I could remember reading somewhere where they rolled the roads and packed the snow down, and then after the warmed up there's this ridge of ice where the road was, and they still couldn't go. You know, they had to wait for the ice to melt. They built it up so much.
In the flat parts of New Jersey, they used to plow the roads, but it was too stony here to do that, I think.
Well, it was quite rocky.
I think they shoveled.
Huh?
I think they shoveled a lot.
Oh, they shoveled a lot.
In Mum's diary, it said that my father shoveled the road, because this would be what is now 235, but they shoveled all up over the hill, which would be Schoolhouse Hill, and up at the corner, and out towards Wentworth, you know, where Wentworths were, and then down the other way that would go to East Union. They shoveled it by hand. And then they'd rest. It said in the diary, and then the next day they might not get out of bed. Well, I would think not.
And lots of times,
they would shovel
the snow up a ways, and then there'd be another crew to shovel it a little further.
Wentworth would be, if you were at the intersection of Hatchet Mountain Road, if you went to the right.
When I was a kid going to high school, I used to shovel up, you know, where over the Lincolnville, where Kelmscott Pine is up in there. He couldn't get up through there, and we shoveled that. Shoveled down about 3 feet, and then he could plow the rest, and we had to throw it up.
What was the most they could plow?
Well, no, you know, it was probably 4 or 5 feet underneath there.
So you had to get the drifts.
And he had, I mean, back then they was using them big walled snow fighters, which was quite a truck.
They could open the roads up.
Yeah.
They came over home, you know, and winged it back, you know, and Paul Thomas and Fred Hardy had an FWD, and he plowed Lincolnville there. And
they used snow fences in this town.
Yes, they. The first snow fences they had over home were made out of boards, live sawed, you know, and they were probably that boards that wide, varied a little, and nailed onto cleats, and they were probably 12 feet long. And they'd carry them out and stand them up and drive some stakes down to hold them up, but the wind was pretty hard on them. They held the wind so. And they were awful heavy to lug off the fields after they get wet and piled up on the walls. And then they got the Y and Lars snow fence, which worked much better.
So it it sounds like pretty much everybody turned out to open the roads up when they were messed up. Sounds to me very much like the early years when people settled here.
Yes.
Part of your condition of settlement was that you agreed to work so many days on the road in turn for your lot.
Yeah.
That is, if you wanted to go anywhere.
Yes.
If you wanted to stay home, you didn't have work on the road.
Couldn't go to the supermarket every week.
Some of the descriptions about the early years of those roads, when they were first put in by Mr. Barrett and company, they weren't even up to the standard of below the wall, below the land, with a brook running in them. They didn't have much there.
That takes a while.
It sounds like it took a long time to improve that condition. All the way up to the 60s.
Yes.
Well, the state aid started when? Late 30s. But it was little bits at a time.
Yes. Well, they built 1,000 feet or so on the state aid road. The town had raised some money and the state would match it.
50-50?
Yes. I think that wasn't that right, Faith?
Sounds right.
Now, when you went to high school, somebody drove you, or?
Well, I did until I was 16. I got a license, and then my father and mother didn't have to drive the week that it was our turn.
No carpooling?
Huh?
No carpooling?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You did carpooling.
Oh, yeah. Because I did that a lot.
Now, I had to come round this way because I couldn't go up Barnstone Road, and I'd pick up all this. Quinn Barrett and Harris Hobbs and Rachel Norris, and I don't know, I guess there's a few more, but...
And you still had to walk from Colonel Wilson's home, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, the Pieces, when they
kind of kept in shape.
They went to Appleton High School. They walked down through Peacetown to Appleton High School.
Right. So down the back side of the mountain.
And Justine?
My sister did. My sister walked from Jones Hill to Appleton.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
This is magic.
I had a vehicle, because we didn't have buses when I went to high school.
No.
I had a vehicle.
But how did you get across what's now 235? It was terrible.
Yeah, no, I came across because I used to pick up Jane and Joanne Hatt. My nephew, Walter Campbell, rode with me. I had a Willys Jeep pickup, and the four of us would pile in their cab. Wish you couldn't do that now. And we had a box in the back to put our extras so that we could fit in the cab. And I came over and picked them up and went this way.
You could get through the flat there.
Yeah.
Were they at the top of the hill, Chuck, in that road?
No, they walked out the top of the hill, and then I took them over.
William, didn't, when they used to have town meeting over in the town,
235,
didn't your father walk over there?
Yes.
You used to tell me something, I can't remember the details.
Well, the town meeting came then, they had a big snowstorm, and Dad, Uncle Reuben Barrett, and I think Everett Hobbs, and probably Raymond, they walked out to the townhouse and adjourned the meeting, walked back.
My father walked from our house to Tranquility Grange to go to town meeting when it was snowing. That's a long walk.
Barbara, you was living in Lincolnville.
Yeah,
I thought.
On High Street?
No. We lived just above Moody Pond, was back of our house.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That is it. Everybody had about the same conditions, one way or another.
And we walked four times a day to school and back.
You go to the Wiley's Corner school?
Going to the Payson school, we walked back and forth, because that wasn't about a mile.
No.
I must have been out when you
were born. I think you were.
Is that amazing?
Sorry.
Just amazing.
Do you remember when they had stages? Like I guess they were like station wagons or beach wagons that were stage coaches?
No. Not wrong.
And Anna Hardy talks about them. I don't remember them. Something that went from here to Sears, North Appleton and Searsmont. I don't know anybody who remembers. I guess we're out of luck then.
They had one in Lincolnville. Harvey Dean used to drive mail from Lincolnville Center to Belfast, and that, they called it the stage. And if you wanted to go to Belfast, you could ride with him.
It was from the center.
You'll be able to do it here pretty soon.
Good Lord.
It was from the center.
McKinney always said, well, I'm going to take the stage and go to Belfast. Well, he was going to ride up with us.
You remember when he stopped doing that?
No.
That was from the center, right?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. This is great.
We have it pretty easy today, don't we?
We do. Yeah. People shouldn't complain.
These are not good old days.
They shouldn't complain about the roads, and people just shouldn't complain.
They do. No, it all broke down over by Frank Grasso's one night with a snowplow. He had to walk home. Everyone gone to bed. All the houses were down. 12 below 0 and the wind blowing.
Earl?
Yeah.
I know. It's just
that was only one time. He had many other times.
I hear about the Dugway.
Yeah.
When they moved, they flipped 235 from one side of the Hatchet Mountain to the other.
Yeah.
Was that during your time that they really got to working on it?
I think the Dugway was before my time, or I was too early to remember it.
Because I understood there were kind of two times they did that. The first was putting it through in the first place, and then there was some improvements that took place along there.
Well, they changed the road. Because the road used to go, you know where, back of Swan, where you can go have a massage? The road used to go that way, out by her house, and then up the hill, and back onto, that awful corner wasn't there. Oh, that horrible thing. Why they made that, I'll never know, but there was one worse, it was down on the other end. So, they went up through, made that corner.
You can still see where that roadbed, well, the roadbed's still there. I mow part of it out every year. It's a snowmobile trail.
Well, the road used to go there. That's where we used to get stuck, we'd say, at mud season. We'd get stuck in there, and they'd say, good vacation. Very muddy.
The original townhouse was up there.
Yeah.
What William was talking to about there was what these. I think we used to call the new townhouse, going on 235. Yeah, the old townhouse before our time.
I guess so. I think this has been very interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Bill.
Terrific.
Very interesting.
Well, can you say anything about the Gillette Road? Was that there then?
Oh, just that.
Did it go all the way through?
Yes, went all the way.
Yeah.
Same it does now, only in the winter time, month season, it wasn't used.
It
And then Wayne and the Wedgwood
Wayne Smith.
You can ride right down.
Got it built up there.
Well, even in my time.
So it's used a lot now, Gillette Road.
Even in my time.
One of the better roads in town, too. You know.
Those wicked turns
Even in my time, that road in the wintertime would get saturated with salt and water. Come spring, when the rains came, that thing is just ice, glare ice. You couldn't go down the track. And that was 20 years ago. It was miserable.
Thank you again.
If I might add a thought on the end of this, when William said about he and his brother going out and hoping that the mailman would get stopped so they could pull him out, history repeats itself because, I don't know if you know, but